Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It. Today with me, I have Erica Moses of Hire coming to us from New York. Hi, Erica. How's your day going?
It's been great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So what is your business? What is Hire? What do you do? And why did you start this company?
So Hire is a marketplace that connects hospitality and retail businesses with on-demand workers. So think about it almost like an Airbnb of staffing, where businesses are able to see applicants, be able to select from those applicants, have them come in and work on a shift-by-shift basis. And on the flip side, workers are able to put their skills up in the marketplace, be able to pick up that shift on a shift-by-shift basis, but then get paid really quickly. But the really cool thing is that we created a rewards point system on both sides of the marketplace. So 1099 workers are now getting portable benefits as they work on the platform.
Very interesting. I guess you're sort of displacing the temporary staffing agency model. Is that correct? Or
a little bit. I mean, a lot of the customers that we work with actually don't use staffing agencies at all because they're traditional restaurants or retailers. So I would say our biggest competitor right now is actually Facebook. Like Facebook groups for hospitality workers are kind of asking other people whether or not they could pick up a shift today.
Interesting. And what was your background? Were you in hospitality or recruiting or something else?
Well, a little bit of both. When I graduated from university, I actually was the perfect worker for Hire, which, you know, at university, I was a bartender. I got my first job in politics, making $22,000 a year. And I would have loved to pick up, you know, two or three bartending shifts. But then on the other hand, you know, I obviously did a little bit more career path. I worked in politics, communications, and most recently at McDonald's as their lobbyist. So that's really where I saw the problem of basically businesses try to access workers and workers try to access money quickly.
Yeah, interesting. Is that a big lure? I know when I worked at a restaurant in college and, you know, being able to take home the tips every night was pretty awesome, right? You have cash in your pocket, which was, of course, dangerous too, because then you blow it. But
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the industry's changed, right? I mean, a lot of people aren't taking home their tips like you or I probably did because tips are done on credit cards. So they do wait 2 weeks for their paychecks. But more than that, it's really just that side hustle where a lot of millennials today, as you probably know, are just trying to look to pick up a couple extra shifts to make ends meet at the end of the month. And that's who we go after with Hire.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, great. So let's talk about fundraising. How much have you guys raised, and is it in how many rounds? Is it an angel and VC, or, you know, give me the makeup of your funding?
So to date, we've raised $2.4 million. We did two rounds. So our first round was a friends and family angel round. We were really lucky that we did have two institutional investors that came in on that round. So we had the Gangels, which is a group here, an angel investment group here based in New York, and also Social Starts invested in our first round. And we're really excited that we just closed our seed round as well this January with Flybridge as our lead and follow on by Newark Venture Partners and X Factor Ventures.
Interesting. What was the angel group? Did you say Gangels?
The Gangels, yeah, exactly. They're an LGBT angel group. So if you have a founding member or somebody on your team that has somebody from that community, you're able to pitch them. They were actually our first check. They've been awesome. They'd be really great.
That's funny. I haven't heard of them, but that's it's interesting how there's like micro niches of angel groups for just about every community. It's great.
There is, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's fun. Great. So, so this most recent round, Flybridge and Newark. Did you go through Newark Venture Partners Accelerator? Were you part of that?
We did. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we did. So we just actually presented at their demo day, which was this January, and we used that opportunity to also announce the close of our seed round. But they really helped us hone in on what we should be talking to investors about, who we should be talking to, framing our business the way that we probably weren't doing 6 months ago. And we're really lucky. While we were in the program is actually where when we raised our seed at Flybridge, as well as X Factor.
Great. So what are tips for people entering an accelerator like that? I mean, how hard did you work? Did you get some mentors and did you put them to work on the fundraise? You know, how did you work the accelerator?
Yeah, so I think you have to enter an accelerator with a really open mind and get as much knowledge as you possibly can from those experts that are there. And even in our class, we kind of saw two different groups. There were people like us who we were really there to get that knowledge. And there were some other folks that they thought that they had certain things figured out. So they weren't necessarily going to all of the classes. It's interesting because if you would have asked me probably a year ago whether or not we would have wanted to jump into a program like Newark Venture Partners, I probably would have said no. But when we met them, when we heard more about what they were going to help us do, which is really they specialize in this kind of you're past the angel round, you're about to raise your seed, but you haven't got the traction yet. It was definitely worth all of our time and effort. And, you know, I recommend them to anybody, any company that's in the same stage as ours was when we entered.
Interesting. Was there a good investor attendance at Demo Day? I think a lot of startups in these programs expect Demo Day to just be this feeding frenzy, and sometimes there aren't that many real investors in the audience. I don't know. What was your experience?
Newark Venture Partners actually does a really cool Demo Day because you get to go on the ice at the Prudential Center. So You're like on the ice doing your presentation, and there was probably 500 people in the audience because, you know, prior to the Demo Day, you get to go down, shoot some pucks. It's pretty cool for investors. I would say we used it to announce our seed funding. So we weren't really there to meet investors. From my understanding, there was a really great group of investors that were in the audience.
That's good to hear. So Flybridge was the lead on that most recent round?
Absolutely, yeah. So Flybridge is the lead with Jesse Middleton, who was one of the co-founders of WeWork Labs. So he's now joined our board, and we can't be more excited to have him on board.
I'm sorry, Jesse is part of Flybridge, or he was part of WeWork?
He's at Flybridge now, so he's a partner of Flybridge, but he was at WeWork, so that's how a lot of people do know him.
Oh, that's great, yeah. I'm sure that'll open a lot of doors. So how did you pick Flybridge, or how did you both pick them, but how did you get in touch with them? How did you identify them as a good partner, and did you have a lot of seed funds in your funnel when you were starting to raise this round?
So I'd actually go back a step and say, I can't make it up. I probably have talked to 100, 150 different people about our company. And I don't think I expected that when, you know, we were first starting to raise money. I didn't think it was,
no one
you know,
does.
I didn't, I really didn't realize that I was going to go on that many first dates, as I like to call it. We were easily, you know, starting those conversations, as most people tell you, start them a year out, develop those relationships, start to get to know people. With Flybridge, what's interesting is when we joined Newark Venture Partners, the labs, we actually used that opportunity to reach out to a number of people. Flybridge is interested in the future of work. So we got connected to somebody else within Flybridge. We got connected to Adriel, who's one of the associates there. And that's how really, you know, our funding came together. And once we met the right partner, it happened very quickly. We're talking 3 months. So it is like dating, right? I mean, you go out on hundreds of first dates, and then when you find the right one, it happens really quick.
That's good.
Yeah, I think the best thing I would say is there is a lot of luck and timing that has to do with fundraising, I think. But that warm introduction or, you know, figuring out somebody who knows somebody is so important, because it is you know, there's a trust factor there. And I think that that introduction to Adriel was really important for us to get Flybridge's attention.
Yeah. And how did you identify the right warm introductions? Just on LinkedIn or asking friends? What was the...
Funny enough, our accountant was the person that introduced us to Flybridge. So it was somebody that we were already doing work with. They said, would you like us to make some introductions? And that's how we actually ended up meeting Adriel. So it wasn't through LinkedIn or anything. It was, you know, again, something that you wouldn't expect, you know, your accountant saying, hey, let me make a phone call for you.
I think that's good advice. I mean, I tell founders, you know, you kind of have to uncover every stone, you know, everything. I tell people, go lean on your university professors that you had friendships with. Go ask your accountant, ask your yeah. dentist. You know, it's like to think expansively sometimes. Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's such a, I mean, even on our angel raise, which, you know, we raised a significant portion of money there. I think it was $1.1 million was our friends and family angel round. And there were people that I had in my own network that found out what I was doing and reached out to me and said, hey, I'd love to talk to you more about what you're doing. Hmm. People I never would have expected, you know, had the kind of funds to write a check to us, but really were, again, you know, came out of the woodwork and said, hey, let's talk. So some of them, again, were very close friends of mine that I never knew would want to invest in a startup. So it is worthwhile to kind of go through your Rolodex and just have that monthly communication, say, like that monthly update of your company, because that's how some of those people actually came to us and said, hey, let's talk.
That's great. Yeah, the monthly update is really powerful, I think. I this is another thing I'm always telling founders is like you'll get so much value out of that if you do it religiously and you know, both to kind of keep people in the loop, activate them to help you out, but also to warm up potential investors, or in your case, to kind of discover some investors from your own network. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump around just slightly here back to the Gangels, cause I'd never heard of them. I'm kind of fascinated now. What was their process like? Do you have to apply, go through a screening? You know, what was the process like to get in with those guys?
So a member of our team actually knew somebody that was part of the Gangels. So we got a little bit of a fast track there. But they do have an application. You could go to their website. You're able to apply. I think it's really great within the Gangels to find somebody within their network in order to be introduced. Again, it goes back to that relationship building. So in our case, we were lucky that, you know, a member of our team knew somebody, and then they have monthly pitch nights. Mm. So you get to, you know, get up at the monthly pitch night, make a presentation. They have, much like a lot of angel groups, they can invest as a syndicate, or they could invest as individuals. So when we first came up with the idea for Hire, they were our first check in as a syndicate and a couple of individuals. Mm-hmm. And then later on, actually in the same round, we had a number of other individuals from their syndicate ask us if they could invest. So they did that as well, as recently as I think 7 months ago now.
Oh, that's interesting. Great. How long did that process take? A lot of kind of the rub on angel groups sometimes is that they take forever. It can be 3 or 4 months before you get into their pitch night. Was it faster because you knew someone, or how long did
it take? It was very fast. Yeah. So we, I think, applied, and 2 weeks later we did their pitch night, and within 30 days they gave us an answer. But you're right. There's a lot of angel groups that I talk to here in New York as well that they have, you know, a 2 to 6 month, you know, process. And I think when you're raising those angel dollars, that's a really long time to be investing, putting into a pipeline, and then, you know, getting a check 6 months later. Sometimes it's unfortunate, but the timing just doesn't work out for groups like that when you're in a startup like ours.
Yeah, interesting. Is your space competitive? I know the general recruiting, there's a lot of startups in that space. In what you're doing, are there multiple competitors, and are they heavily funded or not?
You know, there's some competitors for sure out there. I think a lot of us are in the same stage as we are. And there's also, the competitors are a little bit different than us in terms of they are temp agencies with apps. So they're, you know, a W-2 workforce. We're a 1099 workforce. We're really more of a connector, whereas they're, you know, sending somebody. And so it's relatively new what we're doing, which is that shift by shift 1099 come in and work that skill. But while we were fundraising, there were definitely people. I think this is actually a good tip for your listeners. Some people would say, oh, you're like X, or oh, like you're like Y. And we would have to kind of do a bit of education to talk to them about why we're different. So that's also when we realized, hey, maybe we need to change our deck. Like, we probably went through 100 different versions of our deck as well. But it's taking that feedback, you know, when you're going into a meeting and somebody's not really understanding exactly what you're doing, thinking that you're like another competitor, that you could take the opportunity to say, hey, you know, maybe we need to do something a little different the way that we're presenting our company.
Did you ever get compared to Staffly? Do you remember Staffly?
Yeah, Staffly. I think they were in San Francisco, right? They were doing retail?
It was my neighbor across the street, his startup.
Oh, really? That's so funny. We talked, it was a husband and wife team, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked to his wife, I think, about a year ago after they shut their doors. But yeah, for sure, we knew them, and we're a little bit similar, but again, they're more of a staffing model with an app.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's back at Samsung, and they're back at the big companies. Good yeah. People.
Yeah, for sure.
It's startups are hard. great. Let's see here. So, you know, you just raised this round. That's awesome. Congrats. What were your metrics like, if you're willing to share, when you raised, or, you know, this seed round? Because that's always illuminating many times.
Yeah, I mean, our metrics, we were in market, we had a product, we were filling shifts, and we were revenue generating. And I think that all of those things enabled us to raise that seed. Because we had tried to raise money before we were revenue generating. Well, before we actually had a product, we were doing our friends and family round. But I think that we had an expectation that we would have been able to raise a seed round earlier than we did. Now looking back on it, it makes a lot more sense that we raised our seed when we did, because I think that that's really important for people to know, that seed rounds today are probably different than they were 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have traction. You need to have a revenue generating product. You need to have something in market. You need to be able to prove that there's a long-term business model here. Because I think what a lot of people forget is, when you're raising VC money, they're expecting that they're going to have a return on their investment, and that's going to be a 10x return on their investment. So they need to see how you're going to get there. And frankly, probably when we were raising our money 7 months ago, we didn't have a great plan on how we were going to get there.
That's interesting. So did you put together how do you show you have this long-term business model? Did you put together a financial forecast that shows what this business model looks like? Or is it more a qualitative story you're telling, or both?
No, we have a very detailed plan over the next 5 years that actually Newark Venture Partners also really helped us dive into our numbers and make sure that those numbers were subject to, you know, some third party eyes, because again, it goes back to that. Yeah, you have a little bit of traction, but if you can't show that there is a market out there that's big enough for them to get their return, then it's great that you have a story, but you know, why are they investing in your company? Like, not all companies are actually investable by a venture capital fund, as you know, we all hear in the startup world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Did you are you a market by market? In other words, did you do a New York pilot and then use that as your sort of revenue and proof point? Or
Yeah, we actually did so we launched originally in Toronto. So
Okay.
I'm from Toronto.
You said
And
process of a minute ago, so I knew there was some
it's US
Canadian in
Canadian.
there. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm Canadian. So we use Toronto as our test market. And we launched in Toronto in February of last year. So we're now on the 1 year mark of us being live in Toronto. And then we launched in New York second. So we launched in New York in the summer of this past year. So we had two markets that we could show some data from, two markets that we could show where we were getting our revenue from. And Toronto actually really helped us, work out some kinks in our own revenue models that we then changed in New York when we got here.
Yeah, interesting. Great. Is yours, so let's go into the future now. You just raised this round. That's awesome. Does that give you 12 months runway, 18 months? And the kind of follow on to that is, how do you think about your funding strategy going from here? Do you have to raise quite a bit of money to penetrate different markets? Is that a, yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
So we, as I mentioned, we are a revenue generating business, and we do expect that that revenue is going to help us not only, raise the next round to grow our business, but also just ensure that we have a solid business model, right? That we are making money, and we do expect that, the profitability is not that far in the distant future. But absolutely, this money will help us grow exponentially. I'll give a perfect example. In the past year, I've spent $6,000 on marketing, and being able to spend some money on marketing will really help us with our awareness. That said, that $6,000 of marketing got us 10,000 workers and over 200 businesses. So you can
Wow.
imagine what we'll be able to do with some actual marketing dollars behind it. And I think for the next round of fundraising, the great thing is that we'll have people like Newark Venture Partners, Flybridge, and X Factor at the table, really helping us to decide when it's right to go back out, and get that next, Series A money.
Yeah, interesting. What's X Factor? I'm not familiar with them.
So they're a group that they fund. Female-founded businesses that have high growth potential.
It's a fund or an angel group?
It's a fund. It's a fund. Flybridge actually put money into their fund as well. So that's how we got introduced to X Factor. But they're a super interesting group of female founders. I think there's 16 of them that lead the fund itself. And they came together actually after the last presidential election and decided that they wanted to create kind of a fund to really support female founders and to make sure that they're making some positive change in the fact that there's not enough female founders out there.
And they're based in New York, or are they spread
They're
out?
based spread out all over the country. So my contact there is actually one's in New York and one is in California, but they're all over the country. And they definitely, the other thing that I really appreciate about, their community is that the founders themselves will, support you and will give you referrals and help out to grow your business too.
How did you get in touch with them? So you're my third woman out of, I guess you're number 14, three out of 14, and there's always the top of a, what's it like raising money as a woman? So I'd like to hear about that, but I also I'd like to hear how you got in touch with X Factor.
So Flybridge introduced us
Oh,
to X
okay.
Factor. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so back to the did you encounter any additional resistance in raising money as a female founder beyond the normal pains and struggles of raising money, do you think?
So I'm very lucky. I have not experienced a lot of what I've read about with female founders that are going out and raising capital. I also think that that has something to do with, my co-founder, who's also my life partner. So the two of us are going in and raising money together. So I think that that also gives me a different perspective or experience as I'm going out and raising money. I can say that, I'm also a member of a number of different groups here in New York that are about supporting women founders. And it is really, it's great to have females empowering other females to try to raise money, but it's also kind of disheartening to hear a lot of the stories that I've heard about how difficult it can be, particularly if you don't have a business that is, you know, quote unquote, you know, the female typical businesses. But I do feel that there is something changing. You know, over the past year, you're hearing a lot more about how that is changing for female founders, and I hope that it just continues to get better.
Very good. All right, last question. What one piece of advice would you give your younger self if you were doing this all over again? Or general advice for, you know, fellow founders, women founders, take it any way you want.
I think it's really important that you don't get disheartened when you're hearing no's from people. It could be really easy to probably give up and say, oh, I've heard 100 no's, I'm just not going to continue with this. I think it would be, find out why you're getting a no, ask for the feedback, and then fix that for your next pitch.
That's great advice. I love it. That's a great piece to end on. Yeah, you were on 100 versions of your pitch deck, you mentioned. So you got 100 no's. No, I'm joking, but just incorporating all that feedback in there, and then you got it done. So excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Erica. I wish you continued success with Hire, and we appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Good luck. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.